Hello and welcome to the Swiss Info Programme. I'm Jo Fay. Switzerland is known for its clean, fresh air and sunny mountain panoramas. Back in the 18 and 1900s, people found that being out in the fresh mountain air was curing TB, or tuberculosis, although they didn't know why. Davos, a small town in the southeast of the country, accidentally became a haven for people suffering from the disease. I met a man who knows firsthand what it was like to seek a cure for TB in the Swiss mountains. His name is Klaus Bergemann.
I was studying for around 3 months at a new school, but because I had a lingering fever and I was always tired, my parents sent me to see a doctor at the hospital. Then I wasn't allowed to go home.
It's a sunny but fresh day in Davos. The town is famous nowadays as a ski resort that attracts an international crowd and the site of the annual World Economic Forum meeting, and all this despite its unusual past. And that's what I've come to talk to Klaus Bergemann about. Born in 1938 in a small village near Davos, Bergemann was diagnosed with tuberculosis at the age of 16. In his retirement, he's become a local historian for the town, so it's safe to say he knows a fair bit about the treatment for TB given to people in Davos in the first half of the 20th century. Bergemann was one of six children. His father worked as a porter in a hotel. When he was diagnosed with tuberculosis at the age of 16, Bergemann's story could have had a very different ending. Instead, he was sent to the sanatorium.
Incredibly, we never received a bill. My parents never received one bill, neither from the management nor from the doctor.
Bergemann was an unusual case in having his treatment paid for. The doctor knew his family couldn't afford his stay at the sanatorium, so the cost was covered for him. He did have to take on a few tasks in return, though.
On Thursdays, I had to perform a concert at which I took requests from my fellow patients, and on Sundays, I had to play the harmonium in church.
Other poor sufferers who weren't so lucky stayed in cheap accommodation in the town to be close to the doctors who would keep them under observation, but without having to pay for constant care at a sanatorium. Some were helped out by charities. 110,000 Americans were dying each year from tuberculosis in the 1900s. In 1900 alone in Switzerland, around 9,000 people died of TB. The treatment in Davos was in demand. In 1940, there were over 40 sanatoriums in Davos. Thanks to Dr. Alexander Spengler, who in the 1860s pioneered his TB treatment of hours lying on sun lounges in the sun and fresh air, drinking lots of milk, and generally eating well, a whole business sprung up in the town. Bergemann drove me round some of the important spots, pointing out where the different sanatoriums had been. This is where Alexander Spengler first built a cure house for treating patients, Bergemann told me. He carried on driving and then pointed out the Russian sanatorium, now the Hotel Derby. And then the Dutch sanatorium. Now it's the Hotel Ameron, he said.
Hotel Ameron.
As a 16-year-old, Bergemann stayed at the church-run Sanitas Sanatorium for 11 months in the mid-1950s, the tail end of this period in time, as doctors were now starting to use antibiotics to treat patients. There was beginning to be no need for them to travel to Davos. He still received the old-style treatment, however, as he told me, over a cup of coffee.
You had to lie on the sun lounger for 2.5 hours in the morning. Then you had to lie on the sun lounger for 2.5 hours in the afternoon. Depending on the doctor, you would lie outside for 6 or 7 hours.
I asked him how he entertained himself for so long.
I read a lot. My parents enrolled me on a long-distance course, so I was able to do a course in literature.
At the other end of the spectrum were very wealthy clientele who came to Davos for the cure. Bergemann wanted to show me how the other half had lived, so we took the funicular railway up to 1,861 metres to the Hotel Schatzalp. The Hotel Schatzalp, built in 1900, is now a historic hotel, still with lots of the original architecture, It used to be a luxury sanatorium. It's also the only sanatorium mentioned by its real name in Thomas Mann's well-known book, The Magic Mountain. It overlooks the town below, a long hotel with rows of balconies perched on the front of the building, and the famous sun loungers with their yellow cushions still neatly arranged. Here we're in the entrance hall, the lobby. That over there is the dining room, says Bergamin, pointing to our right. And you can see that everything is as it was when it was built in 1900, he adds. Look at the phone. There's a real atmosphere to the place, and I follow Bergamin into the grand dining hall. There are large mirrors on the wall and paintings, while white tablecloths cover round tables spaced around the room, alongside a short corridor of sweeping archways. How many times a day would the patients come in here? I asked Bergamin. Five times, he replied. First at 7:30 for the first breakfast, then again at 10:30 for the second breakfast. At 12:30 there would be lunch, with 7 to 13 courses, depending on the day. Then in the afternoon there would be coffee and cake. In the evening there would be a four-course menu. And on top of that, every patient had to drink 2 litres of milk.
2 liter milk zu trinken.
TB makes people lose weight, so part of the answer was to eat a lot. Going for walks outside was also part of the treatment, he said. They didn't know what it was. It was only in 2005 that it could be proven that it was the ultraviolet rays and vitamin D that was the cure. Walking up a wide staircase, we're now on the first floor, on a long, wide corridor. This is now the hospital tract, Bergamin told me. The rooms are relatively wide, with wide doors, so that the beds could be wheeled in and out. And look at how everything was organized. You can see the clock there. It chimed for people to go and eat. It chimed for people to go and lay outside. It chimed for people to go for a walk. Everything was organized and ran like clockwork.
Es war alles glockenmäßig, war alles organisiert.
Bear with me here, because now we have to talk about spittoons. Each patient had one to get rid of the highly infectious phlegm. An ornate blue-tiled sink located in the middle of the corridor had a very specific purpose related to this. Always under the careful watch of the nursing staff, each spittoon had to be cleaned in a carbon solution. That was of the utmost importance, Bergamin told me. At the end of the corridor is a very special room. This is where Kaiser Wilhelm II booked out a room for 10 years. It was just in case he or his family contracted TB and had to come for treatment. Bergamin opened up the double doors to the room. They were used for acoustic reasons, he said. He showed me the old-style heater where cherry stones were warmed to be used to keep people warm. And this is the Kaiser room, he said. He walked across the large room to the balcony doors and opened them up. This is something quite special, isn't it? He said, taking in the view. The patients who had their rooms on this side of the hotel could lie on their own balconies. Those who were on the other side of the hotel had to go to a communal sun lounge area at the front of the building. The history of tuberculosis in Davos and in each hotel and ex-sanatorium is rich. Today, the resort also now hosts various allergy research and treatment centres, plus rehabilitation centres for people after ski accidents, for example. In the old X-ray room of the Schatzalp, I sat down with Mark Linder, the hotel's general manager. How do you turn around a past as a treatment centre for a highly infectious and potentially deadly disease when you're now a modern-day hotel? I asked him what kind of people wanted to spend a night in a place with such an unusual past.
We have a lot of events, a lot of seminar meetings. We have a party now here with electronic music, so there are maybe more younger people. There are a lot of people coming since years to us. They are of course, a bit older. Sometimes the kids of people coming last 20 years to us coming now.
And people are mostly coming for ski holidays, or what's the kind of purpose of their visit?
We have people coming for ski holidays, especially in the wintertime. A lot of people would just like to walk, have a nice time in the nature. We have a botanical garden here around the hotel. Because of a lot of events, we have people coming for work.
What's it like looking after such a historic hotel? There's so many original features. I mean, these X-ray walls. Is that a difficult task, or what's it like looking after such a place?
Yes, it's really difficult. The first thing, it's the logistic of a place like that. It's completely different to a hotel today, especially on the mountain, 300 meters above Davos. That's a really big point for us to organize. Of course, it's a lot of things we like to save and maybe keep them for a long, long time. That's sometimes quite difficult because it's not a museum, it's a hotel. We use them every day, and you can't be everywhere every day. And you can't say to everybody, just be careful. It's quite odd because it's not a museum, it's a normal place to live.
When your hotel is it marketed as a place that used to be a sanatorium, or is that ancient history now?
It's important for us to speak about the history, but now we are a hotel and we don't want to tell everybody that they're making holidays in a hospital. It's not a good way to make marketing. You have to find a good solution between we now a hotel, and that's what we explain everybody. But of course, we have guests who are coming because of the history. So we try to keep also the history of the hotel and speak about this.
The Schatzalp has 196 beds. And in the winter, there are about 100 people working at the hotel, the ski area and the funicular railway. In the summer, the staff numbers go down to around 60 to 80 people. Katharina Hoog is one of those employed by the hotel. She's the Schatzalp events manager.
Well, we're basically doing everything up here. So that's from 10 people having a nice dinner up here to the party, which has been set up now for 2,000 people. We are having weddings, we are having birthday parties. Almost everything is possible up here.
Do you think that people pick this place because of the historical aspect, or is it more that it has such a nice setting, such a nice view? What do you think it is that really appeals to people?
There are many points why people are coming up here. It's the location. We have a beautiful view over the walls. We have a history. There is a special atmosphere which makes this such a special place.
Are most of your guests coming from within Switzerland, or are they coming from abroad? And if so, whereabouts, Europe or further afield?
I think at first they are coming from Switzerland. And the second place, if you like to say, it's Germany. After them, England, Benelux, France, Italy. We have quite a few people coming from America since a long time, but most of them are Swiss, married with American or something. We have quite a lot of international guests in the wintertime, especially during WEF. But it's a different thing. They are coming every year to the same days. It's not our main business. It's a business, for sure. It's an important business for Davos, but it's not the main business.
If you want to read more about Davos and the treatment of tuberculosis, plus see what the rooms and sun lounges at the Schatzalp look like for yourself, take a look at our related story on our website, swissinfo.ch. Thanks to technician Daniel Wieler. This has been the Swiss Info Programme, and I'm Jo Fay.